see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
It's going by the book, and people just ain't getting it, man. They're just not getting it. They're not getting it because it's going by the book, just like the book says, just like the song says. Johnny Cash became a born-again Christian at some time toward the end of his life. I am seeing constantly. Oh, by the way, my name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program, the Watchman for Jesus program. And we are on TalkStream Live. If you would, when you get an opportunity, go through TalkStream Live. Try to do it every hour. Let's see what happens. Do every hour. Just click out, click in to TalkStream Live, and then come back to the website or the green box there, but preferably the website. And that way you tap into my program. Kind of lets me know how many people are there, sort of, and I don't keep track of individuals, but it gives me numbers, and so I can see if I'm getting out to people. TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com. Click on my picture and come right on back in. Family, today I'm going to talk about part two, the true nature of war. And the reason you say, well, that's all past. Yeah, well, what happened in the past is what they're getting ready to pull in the future. And who's really involved? I mean, people get wrapped up in this Bundy thing. Bundys are dirty, as you can only imagine. They are part of the Illuminati. They're being funded or financed or something another with the Koch brothers, K-O-C-H brothers. They're Illuminati, billionaires. Now, what you got going on, and it's a dialectic. I've explained the Hegelian dialectic before. They provide you the problem, then they have the solution, and then they know you're going to pick the solution because that's the only one you got. And it gives us a synthesis. That's your choice, which they already have control of. They know the population will like that choice. You see? And that's how they funnel you, using the media and so-called ones on your side that pretend to be patriots, and they're not patriots at all, pretend to be Christians, and they're not remotely Christians. They can sure talk up a game. And that's about every one of them up there, from Rand Paul, Ron Paul, Billy Graham, the whole lot of them. Family, the only friend you have, literally, is Jesus Christ. Literally, that's... If I was given a brief to the Joint Chief of Staff, I would have to tell them that. Now, some of them, being pagan as they are, and being non-Americans as they are, members of the, or briefing the members of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Luciferian shadow government in our country, which is equivalent to the Royal Institute of National Affairs in England. They're both Luciferian, and they both run the countries. Even Canada, matter of fact, every nation has something-something in international affairs, is the Illuminati of that country. Canada is no exception. They all do. They're right out in front, but what you don't see, and the members of these organizations don't see either, is what's behind the closed doors. And let me tell you, it's not truth or consequences. Door number one, two, or three. All three doors are born of hell, literally. You have nothing but evil behind them. Members of the Council of Foreign Relations that aren't into this club, they will kill them, and they don't know that yet. Freemasons, you're going to die. They have it in their planning process. They will kill you. Once the Great White Brotherhood has total control, they are going to start execution of all Freemasons. I'm telling you right now, it's a promise and a guarantee. They're going to do it. But they won't do it until they see that you are happy, fat, and in control. Then they're going to start killing you off, just like the bankers, like the cops that are good cops, like the scientists that are being knocked off left and right in all kinds of different ways. They will start doing it. Guaranteed. And your maneuvers and your movements from one degree to the other, it's not changing your frequency so you can become a godlike man or being when you reach the 33rd degree. They're lying to you. And any powers that you think you've acquired of alchemy is only given to you by possession at the 33rd degree level. Each level before that is another brainwashing step that they're putting you into. They own you by the blood oath. You ever notice that? You can't go outside the blood oath. So while you're there, they placate you with rewards and parking places and contracts and come to the club, we'll play a game of golf. Or a jester meeting where the Shriners go to. Oh, that's a sin hole if you've ever seen one. We know. But if we know as humans, you know God knows everything you do. So all the good deeds that you Shriners do works against you. Every time you do a good deed, it's like pushing a rooting seed into the ground, deeper and deeper and deeper, to where it'll never grow again. Your good deeds, your Masonic ring, is only your ticket to hell. Literally, it's not your ticket to heaven. It will not happen. Until you renounce the blood oath, ask for forgiveness for taking that oath to God and God only, and then start doing what God tells you to do, assuming it. He sees your pure heart. But pray you don't have a reprobate mind, because then he will send you a strong delusion and you will believe the lies. You don't want that. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And then we're going to talk about the true nature of war, part two, and conflict. I have a whole lot of news to talk about, and we'll see where I end up heading toward. I just let God guide me. That's what I end up doing. I just kind of give up and let God direct me the path I'm going to lead. It all starts when I start talking. Sometimes I never know And I have people that will tell you. I sometimes can't tell them what I'm going to talk about. And sometimes when I figure, well, I'm going to talk about HIV or talk about the New World Order or something, vaccines, it ends up being something else. That's just kind of the way it works. I have no one directing me except the Holy Spirit. I have people on the side here and there that send me articles and commentary and so forth. But I, you know, take it with a grain of salt, and I read it, and I use it, and not use it, or whatever. But the Holy Spirit guides me. That's it. Literally. Lord, we come before you today. And Lord, as in every day, we dedicate this broadcast to you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray for all those listening today and all those that will listen in the future, that, Lord, you'll bless them. Lord, you'll guide us all. If we fall away or hit the wrong direction, you'll use the Holy Spirit to guide us in the right path through that conviction, chastisement, love. And Father, through your wisdom and worship, and wisdom and discernment, you guide us along so we can see the truth. And Father, give us courage to speak it and keep us straight when we fall away. Lord, we do pray for our family members. We pray for those that we've lifted up before. Father, that you'll revisit those and those that I can't remember that, Lord, you know. We pray for those families that's trying to bring loved ones in, that's trying to witness, Lord, and to open up the hearts and minds of those that are unbelievers, that, Father, you'll set up divine appointment or some kind of incident or situation that will open their eyes and guide them to the truth. Lord, we pray for the healing of our loved ones, to bring the minds back, to heal the bodies. And Father, for those that are seeking the truth, that you guide them in the right path and to protect them with the blood of Jesus, that they'll not be interrupted or distracted. Father, we pray for those children. We pray for those that's being identified for sacrifice this April and May to further the cause of Satan and the fallen angels. That, Lord, that you block those attempts. You block those instances. You close down those portals, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, and reveal the fallen angels for who and what they are, and strip away their disguises. Cause them to make mistakes, to take down their technology. And Father, give us time to witness more to others, that none should perish, but Father, have everlasting life. But Father, we know there's going to come a time when that time's going to be cut. But guide us in the right path with divine appointments to lead those others that are on that verge to take that step. We pray for the church today, Lord. We pray for the church that you'll bring out of her those ministers or rabbis or priests that will finally witness the truth about the King James Bible, that witness about Jesus Christ, and will have the courage to step away from the control of the globalists, the Illuminati, the Vatican, the 501c3, and Father, that give them conviction of those that's running away and misleading their flocks, and Father, they'll come back and start telling the truth. Father, we know that what resides is rebellion and witchcraft. Father, that isn't fantasy, that it's real, it's the real enemy. And that enemy is even in the churches today. That's why, Father, we pray, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we plead that precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus over myself, over our families, those that's listening, and everything that belongs to all of us. Lord, we pray over it. We ask you, Lord, for giant warrior angels. and those to be loosed, released, and brought down from heaven to surround us and protect us, Lord, as you did Elijah. We, as your war club and weapons of war, we ask the Holy Spirit to break down, undam, and blow up all walls of protection around these witches and warlocks and wizards and Satanists and all the like. And Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break the power of these curses, these hexes, vexes, spells, charms, the fetishes, the psychic prayers, the psychic thought and all witchcraft, the sorcery, the magic, the voodoo, and all mind control, the jinxes, the potions, bewitchments, the death and destruction that they're causing, the sickness and pain, the torment, the psychic power, to tear down their psychic warfare and break up their prayer chains and everything else being sent my way, our way, their family members' way as well. Return it, and the demons and those senders, turn it to them right now and sevenfold back to them and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we pray, I pray, that these lost souls, that they'll find the light of your Son, Jesus, and that their own snares and their own traps have been set against themselves. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to loose them from all mind control of Satan. And Father, we also ask that you bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts and to serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus. And they may be set free from these bondages of Satan. And Father, those angels coming down, Father, we pray on that full armor of God. And we pray on the belt of truth. They'll be protected and held up by the truth of your living word. We pray on the breastplate of righteousness to protect us from the inside and on the outside, and guard our vital organs and inner man, and that we might not receive a fatal blow from the enemy. Father, we pray on the gospel shoes of peace. And we choose to stand in those shoes of your good news and on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, the solid rock. And Father, we pray on the shield of faith in our hand now, as we take up this shield, that it might extinguish every flaming arrow that comes our way from Satan. And Father, we pray on the helmet of salvation, that we might be protected, that we'll protect our minds from the thoughts that can lead us astray. And Father, we choose that every thought captive to take those and arrest ill-intentional ideas and motives that would harm others or distract us. You take them away. And finally, Lord, to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in the King James Bible, that, Lord, that thou be preached, held in high esteem, and used in the pulpits today. In all these things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, in my broadcast from 4 to 6, I lay the groundwork of how Satan operates. Now, I don't know if they're shills or if they're just don't know or what. I can't really say, but they'll say, they'll ask, or they'll say, yeah, I don't read that about Sanan de Manuel in the Bible. I don't read about this in the Bible, that in the Bible. God's not going to put everything in that Bible. He's going to put in what's of the Savior, about how we were created, about the coming Messiah. The Messiah's here. These are the rules you got to live by. No others. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm coming back again. And here's how you get here. You see. That's how it works. And that's the King James Bible. And he's not going to give you all details. But here's the tricky part. Is that Satan and the fallen angels, the demons, they must tell you what they're going to do before they do it. How they do that? Through their minions. They do this through the ones that work for them. Who are those? It's your so-called globalist. Your Illuminati. 26 plus families. Italian, German, Zionist. All sorts of types. All different races. Irish, Scottish, English, African, Russian, Chinese, Scandinavian. All of them. And what do they have in common? They worship Lucifer. Every single one of them. 100%. However, they try to infuse different organizations, movements, to keep everybody divided. Oh boy, it works perfectly. You see. And when someone gets close to the truth, Satan will try his best to distract you in any way he can possibly. He'll use family members, situations in your life. He'll orchestrate situations. You have to remain tough. You have to remain solid. But you have to remain within the scope of the Ten Commandments and depend on the Holy Spirit supernaturally. That's what's going on today. Everything is. It's not Bundy and tyranny and all that stuff. That's to keep you all busy. But we have to understand it's part of our lives. It makes up the news. It makes people say, well, Mom, oh, Cletus and Martha. Cletus says, Martha, I'm out of here. And Martha's going to say, boy, where you going now? Well, you're going to say, I'm going to Nevada, fight for our rights. Yeah, well, Cletus don't know the whole story, you see. He doesn't know the whole story. So Cletus goes marching out there. It affects your lives. Or it makes you start going to the Tea Party meetings and so they can keep track of you, you see. And that's the purpose of Bundy. Bundy's Illuminati. They want to muster up as much of the militia as they can, for example. That's what they're there for, you see. And they want to see what the militia is going to do. Who's in the militia? They want it to seem like it's placated. You got people on both sides always. Now, is there any question then as to why certain folks in the military, like the SEALs, are executed by our own government? Because they know they're coming around to the New World Order, North American Union, a takeover by Russian, Chinese, other nationalities, and mercenaries, or even Americans within our own country. So they got to get rid of those with expertise in the military, law enforcement, that's not on their side. Now, that don't take a 9-year-old kid's been playing video games to figure that out. Now, they put people on both sides. Most of the generals on one side is fighting for the Illuminati, and the generals on the other side are fighting for the Illuminati. You know, you got that. And how they do that? Because they're Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. And they say, oh, the Obama administration is Muslim. They're evil. And then on the government side, they say, well, the militia, they're evil. They're anti-government and all this. That's how they do it. So we'll all fight each other. And then within the militia, like General Boykin, he's a traitor. Goes all the way back to FDR, all the way back to Woodrow Wilson. There's your traitors, the highest level. That are secret societies. Work for one goal. That's Genesis 3:22. Man did become his God. That's all they got in their mind. It's not about patriotism. They lie, man. They lie. Because they have a blood oath against you. Every one of them. And the ones that don't, they're going to be kicked out. Die in a hunting accident or a car accident or something like that. Or they get put up for bribery or something to get them out of the military or the government services. They'll set them up every single time. Or they'll have a heart attack. Something. That's how it's done, really. They give you cancer in 30 days. If you look it up right now, you can find it yourself how CIA uses cancer as a weapon, and they give it to you in 30 days, accelerate the growth. Easily. It's not science fiction. They put it all into the movies, so whenever I mention it, you say, oh, you saw that in the movie, didn't you? You saw that in 24, that series, didn't you? They put it all in the front page. They put it all in front of your eyes. But they associate it with fictional Hollywood and so forth, so you never think nothing anything about it. That's a perfect way to hide it. And that's exactly what they do. But that's their weakness. It's a weakness only when you know how they do it, then it becomes a weakness. If you don't know how they do it, it becomes a strength. You see how that works? That song goes, that's how they do it, yeah. You know. I have to maintain somewhat of a crazy sense of humor to deal with this mess. I have a belief in Jesus Christ, and I know he's going to kick their butt one side up and down the other. But family, in the meantime, you got to deal with it. And it depends. Well, look here what I got. Cancer is a very convenient assassination tool by Dr. Kevin Barrett. He talks about a story that, given that David Ferry was trying to give people cancer for the CIA at that time, working on delivery systems. He was a prime suspect in JFK's assassination and actually being prosecuted for New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison. And he died suddenly and mysteriously shortly after he was scheduled to testify in court against his fellow JFK assassination conspirators. And his killing essentially killed Jim Garrison's case and allowed JFK's killers to walk free, of course. He talked about cancer that was used. by the CIA. He talked about attempts on Castro's life by CIA. Now, I find that very interesting. Because Castro was a 7-year Jesuit, which means he was Roman Catholic, which means that, you know, he worked for both sides. That both sides used him in some way. They'll kill their own people. 7 enemies in Latin America have all just given or gotten cancer or dropped dead. It's not a coincidence. Russo got cancer and he went against the Rockefellers. Took him a couple of years, but they eventually made sure he didn't continue to testify against the Rockefellers. They do all sorts of things that people have no idea. And then they themselves will release the truth in their time. Their time only. And what I try to do in these broadcasts is try to simplify it as best as possible. You have to know your enemy in order to know what to pray against or fight against or what to avoid. You know, it even goes to the feminist movement. I know one, I'm going to make an attempt to actually cover in one broadcast how the feminist movement was used to destroy this country. It's just one of many. And the ones that's involved in the feminist movement have no idea that they're being used. They have no clue. They're fulfilling their agenda or their frustration of being subjugated under man's rule. Well, man's rule upon the woman was by design. So it would foment that desire to want to be free. Well, you don't blame them, do you? No, because it was thrust upon them. And it follows the 8-step program that they manufacture. takes about 200 years, 250 years, sometimes shorter. Tyler identifies it specifically, and it follows exactly, going all the way back to 1712 for the blacks, for the whites, 1492. It follows every single generation and culture throughout our history. And what is it? Well, I'm going to go over it very quickly, because it's passed down from one generation of Illuminati to the next. They trained their little pagans at 8 years old and under to fulfill the agenda, planning way ahead. Each generation will do this for as long as it takes, for the 8 steps. You put the culture in bondage of some kind. It depends on the culture and what's considered to be bondage. And then you make sure that they have a spiritual faith while they're in bondage. If they don't have one, you create one. You train one of their own in some sort of spiritual faith to go inside and lead them. But you control that person. Now start thinking. Put on your thinking caps. What did the Africans, you think in Africa they had Christianity, or where the Negro spirituals came from? Maybe the missionaries in 1600 to 1700. But on the ships over, they're introduced to Christianity. There's your religion. Where did Protestantism come from? The Vatican created it using a Jesuit by the name of Martin Luther. 200 years of suppression between 1200 and 1800 AD was 600 years. But from 1200 AD to 1400 or 1500 AD was 250 years of repression. Now they're ready for religion and not Roman Catholicism. So they created Protestantism that was palatable for those that rejected Roman Catholicism. I mean, after being murdered for 200 years from 1200 to 1400 to 1500, I'd say you're looking for something, wouldn't you? I mean, you don't have something. Martin Luther said, we're pulling away from church. Oh, goody. Columbus, another avatar, laid the groundwork to leave the European theater and now go to where they want them to, as a dialectic, to the North American continent. There's gold there to be had. Hey, there's a fountain of youth in Florida. And you won't die. You can go over there and have your own freedom. Martha, let's go. They got that Mayflower. And I ain't talking about the restaurant. I'm talking about that ship. Let's get on that thing. And miss that one? Shucks, we'll take the next one. Yep, we're out of here. Well, the Indians didn't know what hit them, because they were the targets. And the Mexicans were the targets of the white folk coming over from Europe. And the white folk, our ancestors in Europe, were just trying to get away from being murdered by the Vatican, not knowing that they're being used to lead the way for the new Atlantis by a planning process that goes over a period of, good Lord, 600, 700 years. That's how long they've passed on this family tradition of the Illuminati. You know where the Illuminati came from? Pharaohs of Egypt, mixed with the tribe of Dan, left their habitat and came to the European theater. And now they get the Europeans, after a while, to move into the North American continent, the New Atlantis, and start reproducing among the indigenous or kill them off. That's what they did. Used, but not knowing they're being used. That began the bondage. Now you see, 1492, 1200, the bondage began for the white folk in Europe. What was the bondage? The Vatican. I think being murdered for no reason over 200 some years is pretty much bondage enough. Let's get out of there. Let's get out. Well, we got the Roman Catholic Church. No, we have Martin Luther, Protestantism. We don't like, yeah, okay, that's ours. We like that religion. After all, go back to the 6th century. The Arabs that did not accept Roman Catholicism, Vatican just created a religion called Islam in the 6th and 7th century and used Islam to advance it, because that's what they wanted to do, but use them. That's why you had to have the 11 Crusades to put out the fire that the Vatican started in the first place. That's what the purpose of the 11 Crusades were all about. To stop what did started with Islam. Then control it. Thus came about the Knights Templar, who today controls the finances, not the Jews. Irish. And so, you see how it works? This is all pre-planned on a supernatural level. All this can be proven. If you just connect the dots, like you put a puzzle together. Same names keep popping up. So bondage, give them a spiritual faith. If we don't have one, well, make one up. Okay, and they did. Even today, they make them up. Scientology. How about that? Mormonism. Seventh-day Adventists. Jehovah's Witness. Baptist. I mean, if any kind of just pick and choose whatever you want to believe. Methodist, Presbyterian, man, just pick what you want. Moravian, just pick a religion. Hinduism, Buddhism. Now, that's the oldest religion. By the way, that goes back, and that is the religion of the Antichrist, is Buddhism, Hinduism. The ancient mystery religions is older than all religions. Goes back to Nimrod. Yeah, buddy, it does. You're going to find a rise of Hinduism and Buddhism under the guise of being love, all one in one, and consciousness, and blah-de-da-da. Dalai Lama, that silly grin on his face, and bald head. He's carrying more demons in him he passes on than Charles Manson. You can't imagine how evil these people really are. The fallen angels, in fact, transmute and channel through the Tibetans in Tibet, Himalayas. They're not telling you all that. They practice in mind control, transference of demonic entities from one forehead to the next. They carry the demons within them, the fallen angels, the avatars, as you would the mail from one mailbox to another. It doesn't take a stamp. When the old Dalai Lama does that headbutt thing he does, he's not doing it for nothing. Within a 3 to 6 inch distance, you have your pineal glands connected supernaturally, and the transfer of the demon or the fallen angel goes between the two. And the scarf that he uses has a lot to do with sealing that connection. Isn't that tricky? He plays like a little old man, like Cha Kang or whatever in Kung Fu. Yeah. Yeah, well, he's full of mud. No better than Copeland, Hagee, all the rest of them that are Freemasons. It's all connected, family. Every bit of it's connected. Let's go back to bondage. Bondage, they don't have a religion. And the original was shamanism, Mithraism, Hinduism, Buddhism. That's the religion of the Antichrist. Leads into secular humanism. Alchemy. Magic, voodoo, all that is part of the real religion. All this other is to keep you all busy, placated. So if they don't have a faith, you invent one. And when you have that faith, you have that made-up religion, you got to have a book for it, you know, and you got to have some kind of leader of some kind. And you know who that is, Buddha, Joseph Smith, the Christ, Bodhisattva, Kalki Avatar, Imam Mahdi. You get the point? It all works out, man. Jesus is the only real one. He is the creator of this universe. Once they have that spiritual faith, They get great courage from that. You monitor it. You use it. And when they get courage now, and you monitor it, you guide it. You test it. You survey it. You make sure it's throughout the culture. Could take a century, could take 50 years, could take 25. You test it over the long term. And once you've determined, it may take a generation. That means it's passed on to the next generation to monitor it. This is how they do it. Once they have great courage in that culture, in the case of us, the blacks in 1860s, they determined that was about the time that Lincoln was supposed to bring in the Emancipation Proclamation. They had the spirituals. They had control. Now let's release them into the population to begin the next target, and that was the Indians. Massacres you would not believe that we performed. That the military performed massacres of men, women, and children. 1860s and 1870s. You talk about Hitler. He would come to the United States and what we did to the Indians and the blacks. Don't talk to me about that. Get me fired up about it right quick. Real quick. We got to face that. Because that's an unrepented sin this country is still yet to repent for. But once you get great courage of that culture, then they're able to seek their freedom and liberty. You make sure they get it, but you control it. You give them freedom, but make sure they sit in one particular place in the restaurant. You give them freedom, but make sure they stay in one location called a ghetto. Put drugs in there, too. You understand how this works? Whites don't find out later, like in the 20th century, that you're under subjugation and tyranny. You don't like it, do you? No, you don't like it at all. We live in a tyrannical government. The government is, you see what they've done? They're doing it now to the white folk. See, white folk, you've been slaves since 1712 yourself, and you didn't know it. All along. Now they're telling you, in 1871, the United States of America became a corporation. They didn't tell you the whole time, did they? Why are they bringing it up now? Why they want you to know this? Because they want you to know that you're in bondage. And if you're in bondage, what are you going to do? You're going to fight, aren't you? Yeah. And that's why they're going to give dissension and rebellion brings repression and dictatorship by consent. And you're falling right in the trap, man. Right in, you're going. And they got you, Freemasons. They got you. They got you because of blood oath and your self-serving desire to want to be a god among men. And they got you every step of the way. And you can't change out of it. Even if your family says no, you're going against a blood oath to God to keep the secrets. You have to go against your family. And that's bearing down on you, isn't it? Can't sleep at night now, can you? No. There's a way out of it, but I'm sure you're not interested. I'm not done. Liberty and freedom, so they say. But there's a little bit of a problem there, y'all. They got that covered, too. They got that covered. See, what I'm trying to lead up to is someone's a little light go on and realize that they cover both sides of every conflict. Always. Every conspiracy, no exception, zero exception, every conspiracy that they've set up is simply a step in the outward manifestation of Lucifer's determined rebellion toward God as executed by his human agents. There is no exception. And all along the way, you have quotes from men that are part of it, men that have warned us. JFK, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Martin Luther King said, and I quote, "We must face the appalling fact that we've been betrayed by both the Democrat and Republican parties." George Orwell, 1984. "Football, beer, and above all gambling filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult. Just keep on doing it until they close the trap." But one that I've just, that would sum up what I'm telling you, white folk, is that Johann Wolfgang von Goethe said, and I quote, "No one is more of a slave than he who thinks himself free without being so." Or said another way, Dresden James said, quote, "The ideal tyranny is that which is ignorantly self-administered by its victims. The most perfect slaves are therefore those which blissfully and unawarely enslave themselves." Unquote. So, there is no liberty and freedom. We never won the Revolutionary War. We were made a corporation in 1871. 1789, they put us under a 70-year bank cycle of bankruptcy. We had to have collateral to continue on as the colony which we are. 1873 was the Paris Peace Treaty. And that peace treaty set up the basis of the 1871, almost a century later, I guess, to make fully a full cooperation with capital letters, United States of America. But 1781 or 83 was a Paris Peace Treaty where the loser, King George III, was made Prince of the United States of America Incorporated. It was Paris Peace Treaty, really. They made it official in 1871. Liberty and freedom. Now, once you have liberty and freedom, well, what do we do now? Well, we didn't think about that. You have an abundance. Hence, what did the white folk get when they came over here? Come on now. Here we go. You're not going to like this at all. I tell you what. You're not going to like this, but it's going to slam you upside the head. It's going to do it. All our holidays are pagan. Know this to be true. All right. And they're all designed to celebrate something or other, right? Whatever. Columbus Day, he's an avatar, you know, Groundhog Day, all that stuff. Valentine's Day is not about love. It's about fertility and the goddess Venus. Anyway, now come on now. Watch what they've done in the history books. You're going to love this, man. You're going to love this. Not really, but you are. That was contradictory, wasn't it? Great, because it is a contradictory life we live. Mayflower comes over. Right? Because they have liberty and freedom. They've left England to not be slaughtered by the Roman Catholic doggone church. All right? Yeah. 200 years of it, almost 300. 68 million people were slaughtered by the Roman Catholic Church, man, between 1200 to 1800 AD. 600 years of nothing but slaughter and death under the guise of witchcraft. What a bunch of liars. John Todd confirms, not one witch was, no, because they're into witchcraft behind the scenes. So they sought out those that rejected the Roman Catholicism. Family, 50 to 68 million people. Fathom that. And you all want to deny the Holocaust for a measly 6 million? And say, well, that's too many. They never happened. Didn't have it. Yeah, they did. Over a period of time, they slaughtered 6 million Jews. You got experts on certain radio shows and all that. They got books and all that. Just trash. They had the Holocaust. They tried to murder God's chosen people to stop the 144,000 and get rid of that Hebrew Israelite bloodline. Hitler was trying to do that. It was part of his role. Anyway, 68 million people. Alberto Rivera confirms, you read other sources. It's not polluted by the Jesuits. You'll find it to be true. Mass slaughter. So, they leave thinking they're free. They have a religion to take with them, Protestantism. It's got to be something good because it's leave. And God uses these things. It's true. God will maneuver it. But sin allows Satan a lot of maneuverability on this earth because we sinned. Because we're sinners. We turn away from God. Anyway, liberty and freedom. Here comes the punchline. You ever heard of the horn of plenty? Ever heard of Thanksgiving and the horn of plenty? Yeah. The fifth phase is abundance. They made sure that was laid out by key words they used. Thanksgiving, horn of plenty. We got everything we need now. That fit the fifth phase of the eight-step program. Oh. And then when you have an abundance, then that culture, whatever it is, will get selfish. They'll have apathy. That's number 7 and 8. Selfishness and apathy kind of go together. That's mine. Get away from it. Even though you have an abundance. What did some of the folks in the Jews and with Moses, what did they do? They hoarded some of the manna. When they hoarded it, it turned to worms. Why would God do that? Because that meant they had no faith that he would keep them up. How about today? How much canned food and freeze-dried this, that, and the other, and weapons and ammunition and Cracker Jack boxes can you put down a cellar to keep you through the tyrannical government and all that? How long do you think that's going to last? Oh, I believe in being prepared and all that, you know, whatever you can. But eventually you will run out. You're going to run out of freeze-dried food. It's going to happen. And there's no resupply. Why do you think they're buying up the Midlands? Why do you think these lion Bundys and the others are setting us all up for? Land grab. And what's in the land? Don't we grow stuff there? You sure do, Cletus. You grow things there. I don't like farming no more because it's not working too good. It's them doggone chemtrails that they're doing and all that is killing the property. Yeah, you got the point? HARP causes a lot of rain, too, by design. HARP can create drought. HARP can cause immense rain, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes. Oh, yeah. Y'all getting the point? Why do you think they're buying up the Midlands, destroying the crops so you can't grow food? Look it up. Food genocide. Rockefellers. Other globalists. That's why the Chinese are buying it all up. Thanks to Carter and Clinton and the rest of them that allowed it to happen. Oh, the Illuminati is fighting each other. They'll all fight it out. Let's go back to the steps. So you have an abundance and you have selfishness that develops. And selfishness is when you have all these millionaires in America and you got people that are sick, hungry, in America. You got homes that are completely unoccupied, 18 million homes or something, and something like 7 million homeless veterans and people, whatever. Something's wrong there. You got people spending $44 million stupid dollars on some kind of weird-looking painting, or they'll spend $500,000 on some stupid comic book. You don't think God's not going to judge this country. He got another thing coming. So in abundance, you get selfishness. And when you get selfish in the abundance and selfishness and apathy, then they sneak in and make you dependent upon them. Are we dependent upon the government? You got pensions. You've got food stamps. You got unemployment. They've reduced the jobs in America by design, giving it to our creditors, that be the Chinese. Don't say no. 257 plus, almost 280, foreign trade zones given to China as collateral, thanks to Clinton's. Throughout the United States. Ron Paul, Rand Paul, all these other Pauls, whatever, who knows, who cares, aren't saying a word about it. Nobody's touching it with a 10-foot pole. Because they're part of it, that's why. How come General Boykin and Rick Warner, Joyner, how come they're not talking about these foreign trade zones? How come they don't talk against the Temple of Understanding if they're Christian? Because they're a part of it. So the country, the people, become dependent upon the government. Now we're there. Most all of us have some, you know, we're dependent because there's no jobs. Oh, we'll pay you. And the last step is back to a dictatorship. And you'll love it too. Well, that's their plan anyway. It's called the New World Order. That's what it all boils down to. They plan hundreds of years in advance. That's what people aren't getting. In 1760, this satanic plot was launched in the United States. It came under the existence under the name of Illuminati, organized by Adam Weishaupt. But actually, that's the history. But in reality, it goes back to the year 1425. Put in motion in the year 1492. By a low life Illuminati by the name of Columbus. And we even put him up a day for him. Aren't you glad you get a day off on that day? Or whatever. Here you go. Told you wasn't going to like it. However, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. A Freemason by the name of George Orwell said that. But understand something. They've lost this battle. There's nothing they can do about it either, because Jesus Christ is coming back. Whose side are you going to be on? The one that created this world and allows the God of this world to operate because of sin? The God of this world, according to 2 Corinthians, is Satan. God's allowing it right now. He's wanting to ferret out the wheat and the tares. That's what he uses evil. He allows it to happen because we choose it. We don't go to him. We go to ourselves. We form tea parties. We form revolutionary ideas. We've never won. People aren't getting the idea. They're missing the whole point. And when he pulls the carpet, we have nobody else to blame but ourselves. And it's going to happen. In the meantime, our job is to spread the word of God to all men. Women, of course. When he sets up divine appointments. That's the bottom line. But let's talk a little bit about, time's going by so quickly today, because I got a lot to talk about, maybe part three again tomorrow. But let's talk about some current news, and then I want to go into, I think, some of the, how they handle the wars. There's quite a bit I want to discuss today. The goals of the Illuminati, that's what I wanted to take up a little bit today. Don't forget tonight, Bible study, 7:30 to 9. And also let you all know that John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, he has graciously runs our broadcast and Bible studies on his network randomly, but he does. And he's up there in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. You know, if people would just do the research and find out what's really going on, and come to the conclusion of what's really important. But the church is to keep a few people from it. That's the sad part about it. You know, in 1826, one Captain William Morgan, he decided it was his duty to inform all Masons and the general public what the full proof was regarding the Illuminati, their secret plans, their intended objectives, and to reveal the identities of the masterminds of this conspiracy. This was before its time to be revealed. Now, they're doing it today because they want you to know the Illuminati. They want you, you're going to love this. They had a Jeopardy question. Everybody watches Jeopardy, right? Dancing with the Stars and Jeopardy, and you sit there. Hey, Mama, what do you think of it? You see, everybody's getting into it. They had a question recently about the Illuminati on Jeopardy. Isn't that a hoot? Now, does that sound to you, since they control all the air, media, isn't that kind of weird for them to give that away on Jeopardy as a question? Isn't that amazing? Aren't they trying to keep it secret? Or are they trying to reveal it so that when they tell you the Illuminati has been defeated, we won, and Ethel and Martha and Cletus won't have to ask, well, who's that there Illuminati? Well, now they know because they watch Jeopardy. That's how they do it. It's called the dialectic. Isn't that clever? It's genius, actually. So now they put it out there so you'll hear it. I don't know exactly when they did that. It's been a while ago, but I heard it, and I said, on the YouTube, someone said, Tom, you got to hear this. And there it was, man. They asked a question on Jeopardy about the Illuminati.
What is the Illuminati? Was the correct answer on Jeopardy last week for the Daily Double after host Alex Trebek read this clue. The name of this secret sect, said to have formed in 1776, is from the Latin for enlightened. And then he joked, but I've said too much. And you could see the reaction here from the contestant, probably quite surprised that he's being asked about the Illuminati on national television. After getting the answer correct, looks a little scared, looks a little spooky. Perhaps he's playing into the pop culture madness. No real conspiracy here. This just goes to show how popular the Illuminati has become.
Now, that was Mark Dice, and he's not telling you the truth. There is a conspiracy. He has definitely controlled opposition to talk opposite of what's the truth. But that question was asked on Jeopardy, on that game show. That's how the conspiracy works. They put it in clear sight. So you'll see it, you'll hear it, you'll know. So they're going to tell you all at some time here in the future that the Illuminati has been defeated. The bankers have been routed out. Family, it will be a lie. All they're doing is changing the pot for the kettle. It's to placate you. They could do this and last another 50 years. You see, God's in control. They're not. But back to Captain Morgan. He was going to reveal the identities too soon of the mastermind of the conspiracy, and the Illuminati promptly tried Morgan in absentia and convicted him of treason. And they ordered one Richard Howard, English Illuminist, to carry out their sentence of execution as a traitor. Morgan was warned, and he tried to escape to Canada. But old Howard caught up with him near the border, near Niagara Gorge, to be exact. There he murdered him. This was verified in a sworn statement made in New York by one Avery Allen to the effect that he heard Howard render his report of the execution to a meeting of Knights Templars. Knights Templars aren't Jews. if you don't know that already, they're Irish. Now, in St. John's Hall in New York, he also told how arrangements had been made to ship Howard's back to England so that Allen affidavit is on record, or was at one time in New York City archives, but very few Masons and very few of the general public really know that general disapproval over this incident of murder caused approximately half of the Masons in the northern jurisdiction of the United States to secede and get out of there. They almost lost the Freemasonry up there when they found out their own people killed Cap Morgan, murdered him. Copies of the minutes of the meeting held to discuss the matter at one time was in existence and in safe hands, but all that secrecy emphasizes the power of the masterminds, this Illuminati, to provoke all these events in history and keeping it out of the schools, since they control all the schools. Confirmed, Francis Harris Potter says that all public schools are a school of humanism, every public school. Well, that's only part of it, of what really happens. Adam Weishaupt created the Illuminati, or really, actually, they've always been. He just organized it into what it is today, all the way back to the 1700s. Well, in the news, I was talking one time about Sandy Hook, for example. I recall Sandy Hook. Questionable whether there's actually murders up there. Whether it was or whether it isn't. Whether there's a false flag or not. Doesn't matter. It was reported as such, and that's the effect they want to give 90% of the population. The possibility that it happened. Oh, I'm not going to go over the Sandy Hook thing. It's like 911. They got conspiracy theories and all this, that, and the other. That's not really the point. That's what they want to get you wrapped around the axle about. You know, the guys running in the woods and this and all this. Well, they didn't really say that. And Goldberg, whatever his name, Cherini, says, well, these are actors. That gets you all tied up. Bottom line is, to 9% of the population, it happened. Okay. That's what you go on. So what's the manipulation they want? Well, fear. But to justify bringing in law enforcement into your schools. Well, what's wrong with that, Tom? Protect them. Yeah, protect them. Against the same mind control as April 19th for Columbine, for Virginia Tech. All these massacres have all been through Prozac and mind control assassins, every one of them. They control the killings anyway, you know. So, but that's not the point. Point is, now they can put a policeman in every school anytime they want to, and you're going to think it's to help you. Right? Well, no, that's not the purpose of it. If they were to say there's no Sandy Hook, and they just say, well, let's just go ahead and put policemen in every school. Oh, that's really going to go over well, right? No, it won't. Because parents will rise up and say, why are you putting those guns in the school? Why you got these cops? Blah, 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 blah. Well, now you applaud it because it's there to protect them against the dangers that they're causing anyway. Okay, so now you got police in these schools that some do, some don't, and others are prepared to send them in. So when you see them there, they could carry an M4 or M16. It wouldn't bother you at all because it's there for your protection, right? Okay. I've been telling y'all for over years, ever since Sandy Hook, when that happened, I've been saying it almost every other broadcast, I guess, that the reality is they want to be able to put the security there, armed security, not to protect the school, and children, excuse me, not to protect the children from mass murderers, is protect the school from the parents once they start the mandatory vaccinations, teaching certain things that the parents will, when they receive a text, that they will, the children say, Mom, they're not going to believe what they're teaching today. Oh, we got, they're taking us to someplace, or they're giving us vaccines I don't want to have. What are the parents going to do? They're going to quit work, and they're going to fly down there to take their kid out of school, or tell their kid to leave, right? That's going to happen. Well, actually, it already has, you know. So the law enforcement that will be replaced by security, armed security, won't be no longer law enforcement. They're going to do a replacement on you. Over 200,000 felons for the new civilian military. That's coming now. It's coming. They're all out of prison. And they're well trained. They're going to open up the prisons and bring them out. Y'all don't know that yet. You're going to find out later. Anyway, it's already happening. Parents, quote, article just recently came out. Parents thought they were meeting with a school principal to complain about state testing. Instead, they were greeted by a cop. You say, well, Tom, that's isolated. I'm going to say baloney. Not isolated. That was recently, April the 21st. Two Georgia parents who were refusing to allow their children to participate in the state's standardized testing was confronted by a police officer and told that they were trespassing on school grounds when they attempted to meet with administrators and express their opposition to the exams last week. Well, 2014, in January, police, irate parent arrested at Wheatley Elementary School. They claim that she was intoxicated in Louisville, Kentucky. So they arrested a parent after she showed up at the local school drunk, threatening to kill several school officials and their families. I'd imagine she is pretty ticked off about what they're doing to the kids there. Some of these parents don't like an idea too much of messing with your children. There was a woman recently with a pit bull dog attacked her child after he sniffed the dog child. The dog sniffed the child and detected the scent of another dog and attacked the child. And the dog almost mauled the child, but hear what the mother did. The mother stuck her hand down the dog's mouth in fighting with the dog, the pit bull dog, the woman did, and bit off the ear of the dog. Don't mess with a woman's child. Well, they know this, and that's why they got police there. Well, March 25th, 2014, police arrest a parent for trespassing on child school grounds, school lockdown. Walnut Groves Elementary School called a parent to the school to check on her child, but turned around and had the police arrest her for trespassing. It's on call for. Police and the school principal overreached their authority with this incident. Oh, look at this. May the 10th, 2011. Police sweep parents. Police sweep arrest parents for kids skipping school. Arrest for six parents back in May 2011. Kids are skipping school. They arrest the parents. Authorities launched a sweep to crack down on chronic truants in Orange County on Tuesday, but that was back in 2011. Family, I got dozens of these reports. What's this? November 18th, 2013. Cumberland County, parent outraged by his arrest. A Cumberland County father didn't want to wait in a long line of traffic to pick up his kid from school. That led to a series of encounters last week. Well, this is back then, at South Cumberland Elementary. And now the dad's facing charges. Quote, I'm going to call some help down here, and we're going to take you to jail right now. I'm not putting up with this today. You're very childish. You're in call for Sheriff Deputy and School Resource Officer Avery, something or another, said in a YouTube video. Some of these are made up, too. Some of them are acted out like they did in Bundy's to justify this. Oh, I'll stop in a minute. The 25th of March, parent comes to school to help ill son. Principal calls cops and gets her arrested. A Missouri mother, furious about how she was treated by school administrators and police officers, had her arrested for trespassing because she failed to sign a guest book when she came to the elementary school to assist her special needs son. International Rights of the Child is going to take your children away from you. And Ron Paul and Rand Paul, Jenner Boykin, all these so-called Americans are sleeping. Or they're traitors. What are y'all going to do about it? I got dozens more. I'm not going to keep on reading. I do my research and I do studies. I do it to help people, to wake them up to what the reality is, what's going on. The cops aren't there. Some of the cops put there, they really believe they're helping someone. They don't realize they're going to be replaced by the civilian military force that's coming around the bend. You've got felons today. It's infiltrated inside the police departments to identify which cops they're going to kill when the time comes down to it. You heard me correct. And you got some of them out there are told. They tell them to go ahead and spray the kids. Go ahead and tase them. Show them the power that you have. Make sure it's on the tube. Make sure it's been seen in the YouTube and Facebook and all that to get the word spread. And they're doing it on purpose. Cliven Bundy teams up with Illuminati Coach to draw out the militia. Family got pictures here of Nevada Ranch standoff. There's no standoff. Emboldened militias ask, where next? They give them a false sense of security. The feds pulled away on cue. And the militia that don't understand will think, we won. Give that false sense of security. They say there's a part of a 1,000-strong coalition of armed militia men. They'll take them out so fast that we won't hit them. Spetsnaz, Chinese military, and mercenaries will take them out and we won't hit them. They've been practicing in Iraq and Afghanistan, y'all. It's called, I call it kind of like an ambush. It's kind of like this. When you attack an enemy, or you're on a patrol, and a small group shoots at you and runs away, don't you go follow them. If you're in a real ambush, they're going to have overwhelming odds against you. You'll know when you're in an ambush. But if they have a small group firing at you and take off running, don't you go chase them down, because they're leading you into a U-shape or L-shape ambush themselves. Well, that's what you got here. Is they're giving a false sense of security to the militia. They're testing who's going to show up, who's not. Family, don't you? They're saying, we're going to have militia show up. If they really meant to stop them, don't you know they'd shut down the roads? Come on now. Oh, Cletus would not have been able to drive to Nevada with his weapons. They'd already closed it down. You see? Well, y'all going to wake up. Too much TV, too much John Wayne and Clint Eastwood, and both of those were Freemasons. The Koch groups, back rancher, making violent threats against the federal government. Okay, let me put it like this. 1776, Paul Revere, Ben Franklin, all those wackos, they worked for the Illuminati. They work for the Freemasons to get us all worked up, ready to go fight. When all they had to do was send a petition to the Queen of England, then the King of England, and the King of England would have had to abide by the wishes of the people. They had no choice. With a signed petition delivered by legislation, Congress. Signed petition. That's how it worked with the coronation oath. Required the king or queen, this king in this case, to abide by the wishes of the people. But our so-called founding fathers that were Freemasons, he didn't tell them that. No, we got to rebel. Because, see, they didn't tell them that the other part of that was that colonists do not have the right to rebel. Because there's no need to. So it falls in line with another principle that they use very, very well. And that principle I'm going to give to you. And it works. It's been working since 1700s till today, and it'll work tomorrow. Works every time. Matter of fact, that's what they're doing with the Bundy Bunch. And that principle is this. You've heard me say this dozens of times, but I'm going to stick it in there again. It goes something like this. Oh, wait a second. Let me pull that sucker up. Oh, yeah. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion, you will have repression and a dictatorship by consent. Vladimir Lenin said that. And Ayn Rand, who was the mistress, that's between the mister and the mattress, the mistress, Ayn Rand, whose followers are Ron Paul, Rand Paul, another Paul Taylor or something, I don't know, whatever. He's another legislator or Congress, or they're all the same. Ayn Rand, who wrote the book Atlas Shrugged, 1957, is a textbook of the Illuminati, written in fictional form. But it's a textbook they teach their little pagans for each generation how to run this operation, this conspiracy. Ayn Rand said, and I quote, "Collectivism holds that the individual has no rights, that his life and work belong to the group, and that group may sacrifice him at his own whim, to his own interests. The only way to implement a doctrine of that kind is by means of brute force." That don't sound fun at all. Ayn Rand, Ron Paul just falls all over himself when he talks about her. These people follow these kind of people. That's why they come up with all these little laws and rules. Makes it so hard to live by them. Well, that's the purpose of it. But you know what? I need to tell you this again. They're doing this all for nothing. It's impossible for them to win. They will not win. Dictatorships start wars because they need external enemies to exert internal control over their own people. Richard Pearl. I'll say that again. A dictatorship starts wars because they need external enemies to exert internal control over their own people. That goes directly in line with that quote from Vladimir Lenin. When are y'all going to wake up out there that's listening? Adolf Hitler said, "Terrorism is the best political weapon, for nothing drives people harder than a fear of sudden death," unquote. And they're telling you what they're doing. You know, Herman Göring, old Herman, I'm not talking about Pee-wee. I'm not talking about Pee-wee now. I'm talking about Hermann Göring. Hermann Göring said, and I quote, and we, oh, by the way, we brought 10,000 Nazis to America in 1945-46 time frame, Operation Paperclip, including Adolf Hitler, who died in 1960-something. Yeah, he sure did. He was cousins to Stalin, Churchill, Queen Elizabeth II. They're all cousins. Queen Elizabeth's husband, Prince Philip, who was her second cousin. That's gross, isn't it? Anyway, he married his three sisters married three Nazis. Another version of All in the Family. Hermann Göring said, and I quote, "Why, of course, the people don't want war? Why, of course, people don't want war? Why would some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war. Neither in Russia, nor in England, nor for that matter in Germany. That's understood. But after all, it is the leaders of the country who determine the policy. It is always a simple matter to drag the people along. Whether it's a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship, voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That's easy. All you have to do is tell them that they're being attacked, denounce the peacemakers for lack of patriotism, and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country. Hermann Göring. Every war we've been in since beginning April 19th, 1775, to April 2014, that'd be this month, every single war had been prepared ahead of time for everything I'm telling you today. Now, if the people understand this, if they were to hear me talk about this and actually believe it, that should take the wind out of a whole people's sails, a lot of people's sails, on this revolution nonsense. I was going to tell you and got off track. 1776, the Masons, Illuminati, controlled both sides of the Revolutionary War. Andrew Jackson defeated them by balancing the budget. That did it. And that's what brought in the War of 1812. Oops, back on track. A debt. 1860. The Rothschilds funded both sides of the war through the French and the German. French on the south side, Germans on the north side. The lie that this started was, some Harvard professor will say in class, because of states' rights and sugar cane and I don't know what else. And someone else will say because of slavery and freedom. And both of them will be so wrong and dripping, maudlin, full of nonsense. It was to set up another dialectic and set up another bank cycle of 70 years is all it's for. And to release the slaves back into slavery and them not be tied down but subjugated by the white folk living there. And then make sure they stay in line, y'all, by creating the Christian identity and KKK. Hey, hey, hey. By the way, Christian identity and KKK is doing neighborhood watch programs in some places down south. How about that? I feel safe already. Rothschilds controlled both sides of the Civil War. Caused us to fight each other. French, German, French on the south, Germans on the north. Lincoln went against them. Well, actually, oh, that's perfect. I didn't even think about that. Since I'm talking about that, let me let Lincoln talk for you. You trust Abraham Lincoln? A quote from Abraham Lincoln about the Civil War. Begin quote. "This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of our noblest sons. Though there were great differences of opinion between the South and the North, on the question of slavery. Neither Jeff Davis nor any one of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not relied on the promise of the Jesuits that under the mask of democracy, the money and the arms of the Roman Catholics, even the arms of France, were at disposal if they would attack us. Charles Chitney, 50 years in the Church of Rome, the Wycliffe Press, Protestant Truth Society, Wycliffe Avenue, in London, written 1885 on page 388. Go find it. Slam dunk. And to those listening that don't like me, eat it. Because you have lost this war already. All you can do is save your soul. There's nothing else you can save. And nothing else you're going to be able to do. Dwight Thompson said, quote, Hell will be full of people who have religion in their head and no reality in their heart. And the reality is Jesus Christ. I added that. This is a reality, I'm telling you. This is what's really going on. That quote from Lincoln slam dunks it. And his death seals it. Because he went against them. He was supposed to be part of the Illuminati. He was in the bloodline. He was to release the slaves under the Emancipation Proclamation that is detailed in the Illuminati's own textbook. Yeah. I mean, you can't, that's irrefutable. It's there. That's part of their plan, was the Emancipation Proclamation. Signs of Christ. Page 388. Man, that's their textbook, man. It's their textbook. You get that? It's their textbook. It's what they're teaching. I'm not making this up. The signing of the Magna Carta, the document was signed at Runnymede during the reign of King John. King John is the same bloodline as all our presidents, Queen Elizabeth, and goes back to Genghis Khan, Charles Maine, all the way back to the pharaohs of Egypt. You all get this? Anyway, King John, another Yahoo, back in the 1215, part of the Merovingian bloodline, same bloodline as all our presidents appointed. This is what I'm saying now. King John, nothing's changed. On June 15th, 1215 A.D., the idea of liberation, here we go, from authority was presented with the emphasis upon personal liberty, the rights of the individual. That's back in 1215 A.D. Nothing's changed, has it? Use that as a carrot. It works every time. The growth and development of this basic idea, mental concept, and formulated perception falls into four phases or chapter. It's got it so outlined. The signing, first one, the signing of the Magna Carta, emphasizing personal liberty. Number two, the founding of the French Republic and its emphasis upon human liberty. And number three, oh, you're going to love this one. The Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights determined national policy. They get over in the Bill of Rights by the National Defense Authorization Act. They eliminated the Declaration of Independence in 1938. We've never had democracy, according to FDR, March 4th, 1939. The quote's available. Number four, the Atlantic Charter and the Four Freedoms, bringing the whole question in the international field. This is 1940s, I think, during World War II. Guaranteed to men and women everywhere the whole liberty, freedom to develop the divine reality within themselves. This is documented, family. It's so laid out. It didn't happen in history. It was planned this way. Now, the ideal has gradually clarified so that today, speaking in the terms of 1977, that the mass of men everywhere know what are the basic essentials of happiness. Maslow, hierarchy of needs, was Illuminati. And I have here, quote, Signs of Christ, Harold Bellies, 1977. The Emancipation of the Slaves. The spiritual idea of human liberty, which had become a recognized idea, became a demanding desire, and a great symbolic happening took place. The slaves were freed. Like all things which human beings enact, perfection is non-existent. The Negro is not free in this land of the free, and America will have to clean house in this respect, they say. And to put it quite clear in concise terms, the United States of America must see to it that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are facts and not a dream. They say, only thus can the inevitable workings of the law of karma, which is the theme today, be offset. Quote, the Negroes are Americans, as well as the New Englanders and all other stocks which are not indigenous in this country, and the Constitution is theirs also. As yet, the privileges it confers withheld by those who are slaves of selfishness and fear. And then they talk about in their textbook the liberation of humanity by the United Nations. That's the New World Order. But what I find very interesting is they bring the remnants of the first races that were fallen angels, the Lemurians and the Atlanteans. They talk about in their textbook, those were fallen angels to the liberty of millions of human beings enslaved by the forces of evil. See, they distinguish between forces of evil and forces of good. Both are evil. To their initiates, they try to look like they're the good guys. But they're not. That's how it's written. They have this so quantified, it would absolutely boggle your mind how Lucifer has so many people fooled. But I'm not done. Civil War was over after we fought ourselves. You know, that's insane. And the Emancipation of Slaves, Lincoln was brought in, and you know why he's brought in? Being a bloodline to the Illuminati, planned to use him. He was identified, and in the textbook, as a racial avatar to bring in the Emancipation Proclamation. And the appearances of these racial avatars are agents or minions of the fallen angels. These appearances are evoked by the genius and destiny of a race. And I said, I quote, the typical man in quality and consciousness, not necessarily physically, foreshadows the nature of some race. Such a man was, I quote, Abraham Lincoln, coming forth from the very soul of people and introducing and transmitting racial quality. A quality to be worked out later as the race unfolds. Coming forth correspondingly from the realm of cosmic evil, they say, and responsibly into the focus of materialism upon the planet today was also Bismarck of Germany. Later, he was an avatar of the fallen angels. Both men came forth within the same 100 years, thus demonstrating the balance of nature and the constant interplay of pairs of opposites. They're both types of the most powerful avatars which humanity itself has yet to produce. They emerge along the lines of government of the first ray politics and the department of the Manu, as over a guru, and are very sensitive to Shambhala force. That's the second heaven where the demons and fallen angels reside. Let's call it for what it really is. And such avatars, Lincoln and Bismarck, frequently emerge at the founding of a nation, unquote. You know, Plato was a teaching avatar. Aristotle, Mozart, in the rays of harmony, beauty, and the arts. Buddha's mentioned. The Christ, which is a fake Jesus Christ, Sananda, was a transmitting avatar. They have him so identified. It's all part of the New Age religion, the New World religion. And you know who the father of the New World religion in the 20th century? It was Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest, is the father of the New Age movement. You know who the mama was? The mother of the New Age movement was Helena Blavatsky. La-di-do-da. It all comes back around. When are people going to learn? Which brings me to Psalms 2, verse 1 to 4. And it says, very simple. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The created can never defeat the creator. He already knows what you're going to do. He already knows how it's going to end. But like William Cooper said, a real truth teller. And you know, he was Illuminati member, family member, went against them. Yeah, anyway. You could put 10 tons of proof in front of people, but if they're not ready to accept an idea, they will not accept the proof. No amount of evidence will suffice to prove anything. It is the jury who will decide, and you are the jury, unquote, William Cooper. One quote that it's anonymous, I don't know who said it, but I'll say it like this, begin quote, when any government, or any church for that matter, undertakes to say to its subjects, quote, this you may not read, this you must not see, this you are forbidden to know, unquote, the end result is tyranny and oppression, no matter how holy the motives. Mighty little force is needed to control a man whose mind has been hoodwinked. Contrarywise, no amount of force can control a free man. A man whose mind is free. No, not the rack, not fission bombs, not anything. You can't conquer a free man. The most you can do is to kill him. Now, watch this. In 1957, Ayn Rand, who wrote Atlas Shrugged, said, and I quote, confirming, begin quote, there's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible to live without breaking laws. But just pass the kind of laws that can be neither observed nor enforced or objectively interpreted. And you create a nation of lawbreakers. And then you cash in on guilt. Now, that's the system, Mr. Reardon. That's the game. And once you understand it, you'll be much easier to deal with, unquote. That's not really done. That's put in fictional form. But that is the textbook of the Illuminati. And Ron Paul follows it to the letter. He falls all over himself when he talks about Ayn Rand, just like Jordan Maxwell talks about Helena Blavatsky. They slobber all over themselves. Pray for these people. But family, Y'all better wake up. It's not waking. Awoke. Whatever term you want to use, or tense. Either way, you get the point. And there is an answer. But people aren't yet willing to do it. I've alluded to it the past hour and a half. But God tells you what to do. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I guess that's when Dancing with the Stars is not on TV, or the golf game's not open, and you're bored. You know, I had like 38 to 40 murders in Chicago recently. Do you all know that? Gang war is going on. Up there, Rahm Emanuel, who's the mayor up there in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for, I don't know, several years. I was up there doing various things. We got 15 minutes to go in this final segment of the Watchman for Jesus program. And, let's see. Oh, yeah. KKK forms neighborhood watch to complement police in Pennsylvania town. Can you imagine one of the three little piggies inside eating and say, who's guarding us? And one of them says, oh, I hired the big bad wolves to guard our house. We can sleep well tonight. I was reading this one article, and I had to do a second take on it. The title of the article is this. Man, listen to me carefully now. I had to do a double take. Man seeks green card after American husband dies. Oh, they got the pictures and all that. Man seeks his green card to work here after his American husband dies, unquote. See, they're making sure, since they control the media, that all this homosexual, transgender, tyranny stuff is put out in the paper to become common knowledge, and you're just, oh, that's just one of those, so you won't raise a stink about it. They're going to keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. Georgia couples join challenges to same-sex marriage ban. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. You see? So it becomes natural. Becomes normal. Israel, to send call-up papers to Christian Arabs. Well, now that's really going to make the Christian Arabs safe, and that's exactly why Israel did that. So they'd target the Christian Arabs to kill them. Israel's clever. They're fake Jews in Israel, you know. Zionists, linked into Hagee and all the rest of them. So, they're anti-Christian. Oh, yeah, they are. So now by sending call-out papers and making it public to Christian Arabs, those Christian Arabs are going to be massacred. And the Israelis know that. We're on Emmanuel. His father was a murderer, too. Family, when y'all going to wake up? Even in Israel, you know that Jesus Christ is coming back. You're being fooled and thinking Sanan Emmanuel is your Messiah. He is not. He's a fallen angel. He's to kill and destroy, and that's what he's going to do. But first, he's got to placate you. Remember I told y'all how the women are going to, they try to bring women out to be the new mayors, the new governors. I mean, I don't care either way. Preachers and all this. That's not in God's plan. The man's head of household, supposed to be. Woman is the homemaker and the children fall along his tilt with the mother and all this. She's a comforter and so forth and so on. Well, now they're changing it all. That's what the feminist movement was all about and so forth. Okay. So every so often, very often, they put out where women are doing men's jobs. This is part of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's plan she put out. I've talked about that before. Women to frontline units and women to be governors and mayors and generals and whatever, all this sort of thing. Send them to frontline units, and then they show there's a problem there. Blah, 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 blah. So now, even on the lowest level, they've got it going on every day, something. Quote, on the Deadly Sketch Family, you know the Deadly Sketch on TV? That's a man's thing, you know, where he's got to pick those 200-pound, you know, things, cages to collect the, you know, the crab and all that, and it's all hours, and it's tough and all this. Well, fear not. They jumped on the bandwagon, too. Or should I say the tugboat? All in the Deadly Sketch Family, Captain Sig Hansen explains why his 18-year-old daughter is joining the Northwestern crew. You see, all this is part of changing this stigma of women being the weaker part and men being the strongest, and they're trying to switch it now because that is the Baphomet. Everything's being switched over. It's all part of this because everybody reads the paper, everybody watches TV. Now, something I would really want to bring out is this. Are we not talking about war with China and Russia, right? And yet we still have foreign trade zones in America, but that's here and there, right? Yeah. Well, now, if you're talking about war, wouldn't you start building up your forces and getting them ready? Well, normally, yeah. Okay. So there's a new DHS, Homeland Security Secretary Johnson, signifies a push for a civilian army. That's been pushed for a while now. Well, let's call it what it is. Shock troops. American National Police. I've been warning you all about will be made up of felons. Yeah, very much so. 200,000 of them. A civilian army. Rahm Emanuel is part of this. He's already said it in interviews. That's the one I'm talking about here, family. So building up a civilian army nationwide, and I read the next article. Something's not matching here. Quote, as the army shrinks, young officers are being pushed out. So, okay. So while they're reducing the army and the Marines and all that and increasing a civilian army, and we're going to war, Third World War. Man, something's just not working out there for me. Could it be we're going to come through with another FDR plan, which is what he planned to do by himself back in 1943, the exact same thing? Well, in 1960, they planned the same thing. Nixon, 1972, the same thing. There's really been pretty much a consistent agenda here. More than once, Bush would say, institute this, that, and the other, as long as I'm dictator. It's all, family, it's all coming around. Some of this rest of it I'll cover tomorrow. International Rights of the Child. A boy, 8 years old, with special needs, faces two felony charges in Michigan. Come on now. See what they're doing? International Rights of the Child. We've got to have it. Yeah, take your children away, too. Voice of first U.S. Hispanic judge, female, heard major race case. Pennsylvania gay marriage trials unnecessary. ACLU. Says, man, they are moving. Let me tell you what. Oh, here's something very important that they're going to use. Israeli-Palestinian treaty to be signed April 29th. Ooh, that's 6 days from now. What does that really mean? Well, your half-baked evangelist will come out and say, we have the peace treaty, Daniel 9:27. That's the first seal that's signed. We got 7 years, blah, blah, blah. Then it's down to 3.5 years. There's no great tribulation. Eventually they cut it down to there's no tribulation and disclosure. Alienation and all that nonsense. They're going to use this as the alleged Daniel 9:27. Now, this could be, however, I'm neutral on this, this could be a treaty they sign, and later there's going to be Daniel 9:27 to confirm this treaty. Now, that's a possibility. If they sign this treaty, somewhere down the road, maybe a year, maybe two, who knows when, that's when the real Antichrist will come out and confirm this treaty. That means there's going to be some kind of incident to happen after this signing, April 29th, and the disclosure of alien races and all that nonsense to cause the Antichrist to come up and bring peace and then confirm this treaty. Now, that's a possibility. It says in the Bible to confirm Daniel 9:27, a peace covenant between the Antichrist and Israel. And boy, that's going to tick off God something awful. That's when he says to his son, Jesus, break the first seal of the judgment scroll. Will be a period of peace and prosperity. Debts will be paid off. Nisera, Ron Paul will be riding high. Eliminate the Federal Reserve. Defeat of the Illuminati. They're running. The bankers are dead. They're gone. The Jews and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And then we're in it. 7 years from that date, not to the day, but to the season, that's when the real Jesus Christ will come. Not this fake they got coming, Sanan Emmanuel. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yahweh. That's fake. The real Jesus Christ of Nazareth will come 7 years after the Antichrist, the real one, appears on the scene and the falling away has begun. Now you've got 7 years and the real Jesus will come. But between that time and the signing, there's going to be a whole lot of war after that peace and safety. Hadn't happened yet. It'd be worldwide. Get right with God. Don't wait around. I got a few minutes to go here, and you have what's called Pascal's Wager will settle the entire discussion. There is only one mathematical sound choice of deciding whether to accept God or not. So Pascal says, well, if after one continues the course of non-belief, it says in Pascal's Wager, it is therefore from this point proven to be following an act of utter folly. Why? Because Pascal's Wager states that there's a 50-50 chance that there's a God. Oh. And if by belief I'm wrong, he says, I have gained nothing. But Pascal says, also have lost nothing. However, if I'm right, Pascal says, I've gained everything, infinite. The non-believer, on the other hand, therefore, any rational, logical, thinking person of sound mind must conclude to live a godly life as if God exists would definitely and can only be in your best interest, since it is the only mathematical possibility reflecting reward or gain. So it's also a wager which cannot be avoided, since existence alone places us into the wager. You are here, and either God exists or he doesn't. That wager, or gamble, is called, you bet your life. Most rational people do not enter into the wager to lose. Finally, especially, and certainly not one who entails losing their life, let alone their eternal life. Unquote. Well, I got something to say about that. Sounds good on the onset, but the reality of this Pascal's Wager doesn't tell the whole story. The wager, I say, convinces one to do good works, but not allow for true faith, which can only come from real love, fear, and trust in the one true God. I say that the act of doing what's right will not get one to heaven, will only result in the same end of those that chose not to take on the wager. Living a godly life will not get you to heaven. One must be born again. And if the wager then so inclines one to seek the born again experience, well, then that is the exception. John 3, verses 3 to 8. And Jesus answered, said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." It doesn't mean baptism, by the way. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. You must be born again." Pascal's wager is a lie. It does not tell the whole story. It only emphasizes good works, which will not get you to heaven. Family, we come to the end of the program. Tomorrow, part three, more of how they work their evil and how they're defeated, because they are a defeated foe. Tonight, Bible study about being saved and born again, some steps that you can go through. We'll talk about that tonight, 7:30 to 9. So family, you have a great night, and know that Jesus Christ already won on the cross. What we're doing is revealing Satan's ways to know what to stay away from, know what to watch, how to identify his methods to not to be entrapped, and then to witness to others to do the same. That's it. Reminds you about we're played at John Kirkler, highpointradio.net. Y'all up there in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey, give him a hand up there. He's got sponsors. He's got three towers up. He's trying to grow, but family is falling away. People are falling away. They don't like hearing the truth. Let's get the truth out. My website is watchmanforjesus.com, and I've got archives there. I got a Facebook thing going on, Watchman for Jesus. It's growing exponentially. I don't solicit anything at all, zero, nada. Kaput. I just do what I do on this broadcast, and then I go away. That's it. Tomorrow we're going to talk about, though, the coming world crisis in realistic terms. You know the major parts of it, and I'm going to end it here, was 1913, the Federal Reserve System set up. 1920, the League of Nations was the first attempt at a world government. The war to end all wars. Didn't happen, did it? All planned before 1871. Then 1920 and 1921 was the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London was created. The Council on Foreign Relations in New York. Were the Illuminati. And then the branch organizations was Institute of Pacific Relations in New York. And in Paris, you had the Centre de Luz de Politique Intrigue in Paris, and Institute of Astrologie Politique in Hamburg. And then in 1944, you had Bretton Woods to control. In 1944, you had Bretton Woods to control the finances in New Hampshire. In 1945, United Nations was formed in New York. using the model of League of Nations. 1954 was a Bilderberg group, Oosterbeek in the Netherlands. 1963-67 was Iron Mountain Report to control people in time of peace. 1968 for depopulation was a Club of Rome formed in Rome. In 1973, after Nixon failed to accomplish his dictatorship in America, they formed the Trilateral Commission in New York. All this is part of the stepping stones to a global government that people are not putting together. I'm just scratching the surface. They lose. All this for nothing. But Jesus Christ is coming back. Whose side are you going to be on? We'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Y'all have a good night now, you hear? Because know that Jesus Christ won the cross of Calvary. I don't say that enough. Because it's the truth. We do have tribulations to go through. It's coming. Y'all get ready now, you hear? God bless and good night. This is The Watchman. Signing off.
Every fear I've ever had just melted into peace.
Good night. God bless. And the program will begin its 24-hour loop as soon as I sign off. Signing off.